Well, good morning, girls and boys. It's lovely to be back with you as we start another school year and gather together around the Word of God to hear what the Lord has to say to us. We're at Jonah, the chapter 3, and we're just going to pick up again where we left off at the end of June. That doesn't seem so long ago, sure it doesn't. Do you remember me telling you when we were on the last day that the summer holidays would begin, but that soon slip by and they're gone? Well, that's the way life is, boys and girls, and it's an important lesson to learn. Time does go by, and it goes by more quickly than we think. Right, we're at Jonah, the chapter 3, and what I'm going to do today is read the whole chapter, just to bring you, as it were, up to date and remind you of what it is we're looking at. Verse 1 then of chapter 3 of Jonah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose up from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from his violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, and we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our heart. Do you know, as I started to read, at the back of my mind there was a little thought, there's something you haven't done yet that you intended to do. And I couldn't think of what it was. And then I remembered, do we have a new face amongst us? Oh, yes, we do. And we've got to welcome him and trust that he'll not be as bad as his brother. Or should I say that he'll be nearly as good as his brother. Well, it's nice to see little Joel in our midst, and we trust the Lord will bless him as he begins his school life. Now we're turning to Jonah. You know, boys and girls, what we have read here in this chapter is a most unique history. That is, it's a history that is all on its own. There is no other record of events amongst men that is quite the same as this record here of what happened in Nineveh during the preaching of Jonah. Because you see, a most wonderful time of soul winning resulted from the preaching of Jonah in this city of Nineveh. A wonderful time of soul winning. The people of the city, we are told, and told clearly, repented, and their number was in the hundreds of thousands, not 50 or 60, or 100, or 200, or even 1,000 people were converted, but hundreds of thousands were converted. And we know that by a little detective work. Look at chapter 4 and the verse 11. Chapter 4 and the verse 11. And it says, Should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? What is the number? 60,000. That's 120,000. That's the number he's talking about there. And that number is of those who cannot, look at the verse, who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand. Can everybody here tell their right hand from their left hand? I know a lady, you know, and every time you speak to her about such matters and say, that house you're talking about, was it on the left hand side or the right hand side? And she'd go into a sort of a daze and she'd think and she'd poke out her right hand and poke out her left hand because she didn't find it easy to know which was right and which was left. And she had to go through this ritual before she could ever tell you the location, whether it was on the right or the left. Can you tell your right hand from your left hand? Because you see, the Lord is here talking about youngsters, those who were very young, who hadn't yet reached that stage of development where they could easily say right, left. They struggled with that. They couldn't tie their shoelaces, for instance, as well. That's another mark of what you cannot do when you're very young. So, the Lord is saying this great city had 120,000 children. Now, if it had 120,000 children, how many adults were there? Each one of those children, we can say, had to have a mummy and a daddy. And then they had an auntie and an uncle, and a granda and a granny, and a brother and a sister. So, how many people lived in that city? It had 120,000 boys and girls. How many altogether lived in that city? Must have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And it says they all repented. They all got saved. That's why I'm telling you this is a unique history. Nowhere in all the Bible do I think you will find a day of conversion anything like what happened in the day of Jonah's preaching. So we can say, first and foremost, that Jonah's preaching was most successful. Most successful. Every preacher, when he preaches, wants to see converts. He longs for that. If you're not saved today, there are those around you who want to see you saved. There are those at home who want to see you saved. And it is just a common thing for Christians to desire that those they know who are not saved get saved. So here is a most marvelous harvest of souls. But when we think of the whole story of Jonah and the whole situation, we are made to realize that it was not just marvelous in the number of converts, but it was marvelous that such a number should be converted in the circumstances that prevailed. Let me just name a couple of things. First and foremost, this was a most wicked city. If you look back to the very first chapter where we're introduced to the whole story, verse 1 of Jonah chapter 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." It was a wickedness that exceeded the wickedness of all. It came up to the attention of God. It was so great and so vile. And yet, hundreds of thousands of these exceedingly wicked people were converted. You know, boys and girls, there's wonderful power in the gospel. Wonderful power. Then again, we've got to think about Jonah. What did Jonah do when he was told by the Lord to go and preach in Nineveh? He ran away. He ran away. Now, he ran away not because he was frightened. I did tell you this before, but I'll tell you it again. We'll be coming to a greater explanation, a deeper explanation of this fact as we progress down through chapter 4. But he ran away because he didn't want to see the people in Nineveh saved. Isn't that funny? Strange indeed that a preacher didn't want to see the people in Nineveh saved. He didn't want it. He wanted them judged and destroyed. Why? Well, you see, Nineveh was a great enemy of Israel. A great threat to Israel. And Jonah felt that if they were destroyed, well, that would make Israel much more safe and secure. God wiped them out. That'd be wonderful. That would remove one great threat. But if, on the other hand, he went and preached, he knew the mercy of God. He knew what God was likely to do. And that city, instead of perishing, would be preserved and converted and saved. And they'd still be there, a threat. So that's why Jonah ran away. He basically said, I'm not going to do that, Lord, because I know what will happen. This evil city, you'll save the people, and they'll still be there, a danger to my nation. That's why Jonah ran away. And yet, this man who had this attitude toward the people of Nineveh, deep within him, when he preached, God was still pleased to use his preaching to the conversion of a mighty, mighty multitude. That's what makes this an unusual event. Then, too, there's something else. How quickly it all happened. You remember what Jonah said as he went into the city to preach? Verse 4 of chapter 3 says, And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days. He announced that the city had only 40 days before it would be destroyed. No preacher has ever said that to anyone, really. I can't say to you, you've only 40 days before you meet God's judgment. I can't say to you, you've only 40 years until you meet God's judgment. For I don't know how long I have to live or how long you've to live. But Jonah was instructed by God to say, in 40 days, I'm going to destroy this city. So the great event, with hundreds of thousands of people converted, took place within a space of 40 days, and less, because they acted, it seems, almost immediately upon the preaching of Jonah. That makes this event so much different from other events. The number of the converts we've already talked about, even on the day of Pentecost, you remember that day when the Spirit of God came down in such a wonderful display of power, came down upon the apostles and the believers in Jerusalem, and thus began the age of the Spirit. But even then, there weren't anything like the number of converts that there were under Jonah. Jonah stands out head and shoulders and more above all other preachers when it comes to the matter of soul winning. This is a most remarkable record. Most remarkable record. Then, I think we have to note the depth of this work of grace. In other words, the greatness of the change that was wrought in the people. You know, there are people who say, I just got converted, and you can hardly tell that there's been a difference. You can hardly tell. But with this people, the grace of God in their lives seems to have gone very deep indeed. I'll just quote from chapter 3 again, the verse 7. And here's the king. The king called to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. That was the king. That was the king. And his nobles. And they issued this law. Man and beast had to be seen to be humbled before God and submissive to his word. So if a man had cows and whatnot, not only did he put off his normal attire and put on sackcloth, old clothing, as a mark of his repentance and his sorrow, but he had to put something over the cows as well that made it appear that everything he had was joining with him in this spirit of repentance. The whole city and all that belonged to it came under this cloud of repentance and sorrow and grief over their sins. That's most remarkable. That's most remarkable. And that's why this was a unique record. And that's why I can say that the preaching of Jonah was very successful. Well, one other thing, for time's running out. God's word on this occasion came most effectively, most powerfully to the people. Look at what it says, please, back there in chapter 3 and the verse 6. Now, here's the impact of the word of God. You may have heard on the news that over in the United States there was a hurricane and the winds were, well, we have never seen or encountered winds at the speed they were blowing at over there in and around New Orleans, way over 100 miles an hour, nearly 200 miles an hour. Winds 200 miles an hour, blowing down trees, taking the roof off buildings, and destroying left, right, and center. There was powerful influence of that air and that wind moving. Well, here is a hurricane, only it's not a hurricane like that which happened in the United States. Here's a hurricane in which God's word moved with power. And verse 6 tells us, word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Now that's the impact that the preaching of Jonah had on the king. What would it take to see our royal family setting aside the rich garments they normally wear, clothing themselves in sackcloth and sitting down in ashes as a mark and an indication of their repentance before God? What would it take? It's beyond our imagination what it would take. Yet here's a king and all his nobles, and indeed all his people, and before the power of God's word, they are thus made to act in humility and repentance. The word that I just read to you, the word chem, that word chem carries with it the meaning, as it appears in other places, we'll not go into that, but it does carry this meaning, to touch, to smite. It reached him. The gospel rarely ever reaches within kings' palaces. I wrote to the Queen recently. It was about a matter she made some comment on, which I believe was wrong, and I just wanted her to know it was wrong. So I wrote to her and told her, "You're wrong." And I got a very nice letter back telling me that Her Majesty had received my letter and thanked me for writing. But do you know what I believe? The chances are Her Majesty never read what I wrote to her, never heard the words that I put on paper telling her that the things she had said and was reported as saying were not true. I believe she never saw my letter. Would have come into an office, a secretary would have opened it and would have replied, using language that they use 100 times a day, to other people who write in. I don't think my word ever reached the Queen. It's hard to get a word to one who is Queen or King. Jonah's word, God's word, reached the King of Nineveh. And it had an impact upon him. An impact upon him. And he immediately took off the royal robes, of which he was so proud in previous times, and the crown. And he put on old clothes, show his sorrow and grief that he felt in his heart over sin. The word of Jonah came backed by the power of God. The power of God was in that word. And when people heard Jonah preach, they felt the power of God. And their hearts were humble. Their hearts were humble. As I say, it reached the king's throne. You know, that's unusual. I've indicated that. But let me remind you of what Paul wrote in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And there he reminds us of this simple truth. He says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that," this is verse 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." Paul's simply saying, look among yourselves. Look at the congregation that's gathered in Corinth. Are there any kings there? Are there any earls there? Are there any dukes there? Are there many that are considered mighty men or women there? No. Just the ordinary people. Those looked upon by the world as foolish people. They are the ones that the gospel has reached. And yet here, under the preaching of Jonah, the king and the nobles were all mightily touched by God. Indeed, under the grace of God at work there in that evil city, the king became an instrument of good, as it were, in the hands of God. The king became an instrument in the hands of God for good. See, it says that he caused it to be proclaimed. Having heard Jonah, he sent out a law. What this man says must be obeyed. He was 100% in support of Jonah. And he commanded his people to heed what Jonah said. So he became a great help to Jonah, a great assistance to Jonah and to the preaching of the word of God in that day. That's how great and how deep was the work of grace that was wrought at that time. Oh, we've got to stand back and marvel at how the Lord wrought in those far off times, in that evil, wicked city that exceeded others in its wickedness, to the saving 100,000 of people in a very short time, with just about a month's time. What a change came to Nineveh. This is what God can do. Something we got to remember here in the school. God can change things here very quickly. Well, may the Lord bless his word to your hearts today, each one, and keep you safe in these dangerous times for his name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee today that thou art the same God who directed Jonah to go to Nineveh. There's no change with thee, Lord, and I pray that we may live to see the workings of God, a mighty display of his power and grace amongst us here in Kilskerry. Bless the boys and the girls, the teachers, the school, the parents at home, this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.